Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we continue to celebrate so many incredible people across the great state of Mississippi who are really working very hard in the trenches to make this such a great place to live, work, and play, and really visit. We've got a great show today. In the second half of the show, I'm going to be joined by a digital creator. His name is Brett Kenyon. And he is a Yankee. This is the way he describes himself, a Yankee who moved to Mississippi, fell in love, and won't shut up about it. He's got a great channel on social media. And more recently, Robert St. John's, who's been on the show many times, said that every Mississippian should follow Brett Kenyon. We're going to see why here in just a second. But without any further ado, we're going to move over to my first guest, someone I'm really looking forward to visiting with. He's someone I've had the honor of getting to know over the last several years. We'll explain why here in just a second. But he also happens to be the president of the Delta Council. And so this is going to be a terrific discussion about Clint Dunn, the Dunn family, and Clint's work at the Delta Council. So without any further ado, let me bring my friend Clint into the conversation. And first of all, just say good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Hey, where are you sitting right now? I don't recognize that background.
So right now I'm at the Delta Council headquarters in Stoneville, Mississippi. This is a mural on the wall here that is a landscape of a farm in Alligator, Mississippi. It was made by a local artist, Gerald Deloach, that lives actually on this farm. So he's a local Mississippi artist. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Listen, for people who listen to the outdoor show, I mention my association with the Dunn family often. I've hunted in the Mississippi Delta for many, many years, but over the last several years, I've gotten to know Clint, his brother Travis, their father, their grandfather, who God rest his soul, just passed away in the last year or so. But what an incredible man he was. I've had the opportunity to get to know Clint's son, Jackson, who, before he could hunt on his own, would hunt with me periodically. Loved hunting with him. And I mentioned his name just this past Monday on my outdoor show when we were talking about safety, watching your son, Jackson, go through the paces of safety as it relates to loading and unloading his gun shows that you taught him extremely well. But I'm deeply impressed with him. What a fine young man he is. But you're a lucky man, though, aren't you, Clint?
I am. I'm very fortunate. I'm fortunate to have your friendship, too. And for sure, Jackson has your friendship as well. And you've been a great mentor to him as well. I've just like everybody, you get busy and you wish you could make every hunt and you just can't, but you've stepped in several different times and offered to help him. And that's pretty neat. I've really enjoyed it. I know he has.
Yeah. Well, listen, you come from a farming family. As I mentioned, your grandfather here just a second ago, Skeeter Dunn. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm so thrilled that I had the opportunity to get to know him. What an amazing man. But what he did generationally was extremely powerful. And you would consider yourself, in spite of all the global challenges that farmers are having today, you would describe yourself and your family as being incredibly fortunate, wouldn't you?
I would. I'm fortunate doesn't even begin to explain it. My grandfather died last July 14th. So it was interesting. I mean, it was interesting to be able to be around my grandfather through my adult life. You know, we shared the same passions, whether it's aviation, whether it's hunting, farming, and I think that's pretty neat that you get to share your livelihood with somebody that had been so successful and you can bounce ideas off of them. You can, granddad, what do you think about this? How would you do this? And, there's a lot of people that don't get that opportunity. And I'm extremely fortunate to be able to have that. So, really thankful.
You know, what's interesting about his story is that, you know, I've had the opportunity to spend, you know, long hours talking to him. And when he talks about the decision he made, you know, he was a farmer in Yuma, Arizona, and the decision he made in the 1980s that led to your father actually coming here. How often do you think about that decision, you know, him thinking about the fertile land of the Mississippi Delta, that water was always going to be something, a resource in Arizona that would be scarce, and that it was plentiful in the Mississippi Delta, in some cases maybe too plentiful. But the vision he had, man, I mean, it was truly remarkable, wasn't it?
I think so, and I think vision is aptly characterized. I think that's you know, it was a way to expand. The water is our most precious resource here in the Mississippi Delta, and it will be what keeps us successful or holds us back, honestly.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. When you're talking to someone today, you know, we're watching Trump and tariffs and, you know, the tariffs being way beyond tariffs, about knocking down non-trade barriers that don't enable markets to be open to United States farmers. When you talk to people about the price of the, you know, of soybeans and corn and cotton and the things that you guys are involved in, how do you talk about the global nature of the challenges that you face today?
Well, it's difficult, and tariffs are a tricky subject, and I'll be the first to admit I'm not an economist, and you know, I don't pretend to know if that's a great idea or not. I really don't. In theory, they sound good, but I'd say there's probably more economists than not that say otherwise. But we're in a global market, whether it's corn, soybeans, cotton, rice, we are in a global environment. And, you know, it's about food security. If the United States wants to keep its independence and have their own food security, that's, we have to figure out how to keep it here. So,
yeah. What's interesting is we're thinking about steel and aluminum and semiconductors and pharmaceuticals, you know, obviously farming and all the byproducts that come from farming are the, you know, primary products that come from farming. These are really, really important conversations we're having. And I think we'll end up at a better place, but it's a tough road between here and there. There's no doubt about it. And as the incoming president, as now the president of the Delta Council, well, we probably should tell people who, you know, are not from the Delta, that of course this is being heard in the Mississippi Delta, but it's being heard also beyond the Mississippi Delta, what the Delta Council is. But did you ever in your wildest imagination think that you'd be president of the Delta Council at a time when these global, you know, debates and conversations are happening around farming? It's a critical time, isn't it?
It absolutely is a critical time. And in no way did I ever think in a million years that I would serve as Delta Council president. First of all, I would like to say that I am unbelievably honored and humbled to have been asked to serve. This is an organization that was conceptualized in 1933-34, formalized in 1935, you know, right during the middle of the Great Depression. I mean, challenging times, you know, and the leaders before me, you know, giants. They're absolutely giants in the Delta. And, you know, I've got huge shoes to fill, and I just, I'm honored that they would even consider me, seriously.
So, hey, so in what's your elevator speech? Somebody asked, what's the Delta Council? What do you say?
So elevator speak, I've got 30 seconds. It is a 19 county organization that represents the Mississippi Delta. Three pillars it was founded on, or the focus was promotion of agriculture, because in the 1930s, that was what we had. I mean, it still is today, but I mean, that was solely what we had, and flood control and infrastructure. Those are our three pillars where they really started and what they wanted to focus on. So, we are a regional organization. We don't get into the weeds of very local subjects, but we're out there to help the Mississippi Delta. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a powerful organization. I've known of it for my entire career. And, you know, the Delta Council has always had something important to say about issues that are impacting, as you said, the region of the Mississippi Delta, one of the most fertile, one of the most incredible alluvial soil areas of the world. I mean, you know, when you think about how special the Mississippi Delta is for a farmer, it's unlike anything else in the world, really.
It really is. It's unique. It's people are unbelievable. They're such a genuine group of people. But we've got some issues ahead of us and some headwinds, and I think we can overcome them. I really do. But it's, you know, we've got some issues ahead.
Well, listen, when we come back on the other side, I want to really kind of dive into a little bit about where your sense of service comes from. So you're an active farmer, farming thousands of acres of land in the Mississippi Delta. You still find time, as you know, as we're discussing now, as president of the Delta Council, but you're involved in your church, you're involved in the water district, you're involved in, you're a pilot, you enjoy, you know, your involvement with the Greenwood Florida Airport. I mean, the list goes on and on. But when we come back on the other side, we're going to get a sense of that sense of service as a Delta farmer. We'll see you after this break.
His passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. Today's a special show. We've got a great guest, a digital influencer, a social media kind of star in the next segment. But today, in the first part of the show, we're visiting with someone I've gotten to know over the last several years. His name is Clint Dunn. He's a current president of the Delta Council. He's a partner in Dunn Farms in Itabena, and he's super, super active in the community. You know, one of the things, whether it's on this show, Clint, or whether it's my show, Super Talk Outdoors on Monday, I often talk about how diverse this state is, you know, the topography of this state, the coast being so uniquely different than the Mississippi Delta. And in fact, on my outdoor show, I'd often say that it's a place where you could go and potentially harvest, a world-class deer or have one of the best duck hunts ever. And then in the same day, be on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and catch a redfish. You know, there are very few places in the world where you can do that. You mentioned the people of the Delta are so special. I can't get enough of being there. When you roll from the hills into the flatlands of the Mississippi Delta, it's a unique spot. Now, you've had the opportunity to travel all over the world, but when you come back to the Delta, there's just something about it that's in your DNA now, isn't there?
It is. And it's neat to be able to call this place home. It really is.
So where does your sense of service come from?
I think it is just what it comes from my grandfather. It comes from your Christian values. It's just a sense of service. It is what, if you are able to, I feel like you're supposed to serve. And whether it's a school board, whether it's Delta Council, one thing that allows me to be able to serve is I've got great partners. I've got a great wife. I've got a great set of kids. You know, this is any one of these things require lots of time, and time is the most precious resource in this world because you can't buy any more of it. And they put up with me. They put up with my meetings and my schedules and my travel. And that's what makes it. That's what makes me able to do it. But I just think it's the right thing to do. I think, you know, I don't think you have to be the smartest person. I think you have to be level-headed. I think you need to put others before yourself. And, you know, I no different than anybody else. I don't think it's magnanimous or anything else. I think everybody should serve if they have the ability and the options to serve.
Yeah, I love the way you said that, Clint, that I've always been willing to get active in the community. I've always, you know, done what I needed to do to learn the various aspects of the community, kind of work my way. I work over years, worked my way up into leadership roles in the community. But I would say, you know, I would answer it similar to you, and that is the role your family plays, because when you've got a demanding job that takes you away from home, and then you stack on top of that, you know, giving back to the community in various ways. And when you take a leadership role, for example, a leadership role like the president of the Delta Council, it requires you to do things that are not, I mean, once you say yes to that commitment, there are commitments to go with that, which means you're going to be away from home and you're going to have to do all the things that go with that. And I tell you, man, when I retired, I didn't fully appreciate it. The role that Ann played. I mean, I always fully appreciate it, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I got a deeper appreciation for it when I sat and listened to her talking to my kids and the way she managed life while I was away being busy. And I got to actually see it happen. And I remember the first time it occurred to me how deep of an understanding I had with it. I literally started to cry. I mean, I looked at it and said, my God, I mean, this is what I was missing. This beautiful, you know, the general manager of our family, Ann, and watching her do her thing, it was just magic. But you got to have that. You got to have a great partner in life to be able to do what you do, don't you?
You do. You really do. You know, you're missing birthdays. You're missing sporting events. I mean, and, you know, like I said, these kids, that they're only young for so long and then they're off. So I'm reminded of... It's called The Man in the Arena. It's a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. And, you know, that to me, that sums it up. And I won't, it's, you know, fairly lengthy, but to paraphrase, it's the guy in there that's in battle all the time. He's bloodied. He's dirty, but he keeps and continues to keep fighting. Fails. He fails all the time. But at the end of the day, it's the world is driven by those who show up. And I just, you know, I think that's pretty important.
I love that you mentioned that. In fact, I've read the entire Man in the Arena on this show before. And in the book that I'm writing about hope, I actually have lessons in there that talk about it. Like one of the lessons is get your hands dirty. You know, some people think that, you know, giving to a community is about writing a check. And certainly that's important. And don't get me wrong. If that's all they can do, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. But someone who worked in the community as a volunteer after Hurricane Katrina told me that it just changed her entire perspective about what it means to give back to the community. And she said that something you learn when you're in the trenches with others, you know, something you learn about what giving really is. It's a lot about learning from others too. It's you know, the cumulative, you know, contributions of people working in the trenches together, the synergy that comes from that is so much stronger and better than just writing the check. Now, look, again, writing the check's important, and if that's all you can do, do that. But boy, I often say that I got more from being in those trenches than I was able to give. I mean, what I saw in others. The heart and soul of others. And in Mississippi in particular, year after year, Mississippian, we come out as one of the top five in the nation at giving back to the community. And there's a reason for that. And that's what you're expressing. I think the man in the arena really, really tells that story. But it's interesting.
And if I'd interrupt too, Ricky, is in that same concept, that cumulative effect of multiple people trying to achieve one goal. And that is, I mean, that's the definition of Delta Council. We're 19 counties that, you know, DeSoto County is significantly different than Tallahatchie County as it is from Washington County. And so it is all these people that are giving up their time, their energy, their effort to come towards a common goal. And I think that's incredible. I really do.
Yeah. I tell you, man, I'm watching the Delta Council, the way you said that, each county is different. You know, John Harrison, who's the CEO of Hancock Whitney, said that when you're a young person, you want to be able to flex your muscles in the community, and that, you know, that's how you develop muscles. That's how you develop leadership roles. But you got to get out there and you got to do it. You got to get in those trenches. What the Delta Council does, it provides these opportunities for you guys as leaders to be involved in committee. You join, then you get active, and then you get involved in committees, and then you work your way up onto the board, and then you before long, you're on the executive committee. And before long, you know, if you're honored as you are, you're the president of the organization or chairman of the board. But that's the way it works. And you think about over the years, Delta Council's ability to develop its leaders and the people who are engaged and alignment and the debates and all the things that go on to determine what are we going to do so that we're not spreading our resources and our energies and our influence too much. We're going to focus on these things to get aligned around those things. That's what makes the Delta Council so powerful. It's leadership development that's occurring. Isn't that true?
It is. And, you know, and part of a new president, he gets to select some presidential directors, and they are, you know, they are what we consider somebody that's up and coming, a prominent Deltan that, you know, has shown their ability and their willingness to serve. And that's what it's all about.
It's a cool thing, man. It's a cool thing. And I think John was right that, you know, you can lead this organization for a little while, then you should probably go over there and lead that organization for a little while. Then you do that. And before long, you're getting involved in regional efforts.
Yes.
And you go back and look at, you know, what your National Cotton Council, you're engaged in that as a Mississippi representative. You're on the board of directors for your kid's school. As I mentioned, you're a board member for Greenwood LaFleur Airport. You're on the First South Farm Credit Board. You're involved in the water district. You're a deacon at your church, and you got a day job you've got to do on top of that. And then now you're president of the Delta Council. But all those things together, man, each of those experiences all sort of culminate, sort of like a snowball going down a hill. It makes you a better leader at the end of the day. And the other thing, and you said this already, but it makes you humble. You realize, wow, none of us is going to be able to do any of this by ourselves. It takes a team, doesn't it?
It does. And the only group that you failed to mention was my wife and two kids. So, you know, it's pretty special. And I'm unbelievably honored that somebody would select me. Like I said, I consider it, you know, my duty, and I consider it an honor to be able to serve too. That's you know, giving to somebody else. That's pretty cool.
You come from a great family. You're as I said, I got a chance to know your grandfather. I know your dad, Dwight, and your mother, very special people, and your brother, Travis, and your family. I mean, I've been honored to know you guys. But listen, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you. When we get back on the other side, we're going to visit with Brett Kenyon. See you, my friend. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. Yes, sir.
You bet. We'll see you shortly.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.